Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio. We are in Berlin, still at the Berlinale 2015, and we are here with Raoul Peck. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Director of Murder in Pacot. Or Paco, I don't know what.
Paco.
Paco. Bon, voilà. Your movie is, let's say, about, if it's not actually, it's about what happens, what's happened after the Haiti earthquake. And you were... You told that you were urged to do this film because of what you saw in Haiti when you went back right after the earthquake. Is it right?
Absolutely. I did two things. Beside trying to help, and which I stopped very early on because it made no sense. There was too much chaos, too much disorganization. I decided to shoot a documentary. And we look at what was happening for 2 full years, which gave the film Fatal Assistance, which was in Berlin last year. And then I wanted as well to tell the story differently, and I wanted to be close to the people and to close to the feelings I had during those last 3 years in Haiti. And I wanted to make a film that I would control totally in terms of the aesthetic, in terms of the story, in terms of the location, and in terms of the work with the actors. And this sort of huis clos, Kammerspiel, was exactly what I wanted. Because
So you chose like a chamber piece instead of like a more choral one, because of this possibility for you to be able to control.
And the feelings and the emotion and the contradiction I wanted to touch are so thin and so not easily express. I need a vehicle. I needed a vehicle that allow me to be as fine and precise
you could do. In it. Because actually, the relationships between the four characters are evolving continuously. So you have, as a viewer, you think to have understood, and then you did not. Because something new is happening over and over. And also, everything is shifting one way to the other, you know? Why did you choose to be so, let's call it, vague in terms, I mean, in a good way, not in a bad way, of course, and not to tell, like, not to present every single character as it is and make our life as a viewer easier?
Because yes. But that's exactly what happened. That's why the film ends with this Bible citation about it's the first day. Because before that, they are just nobody. They are naked. It's after a catastrophe like this. Humanly, you feel empty. You're totally empty. Your emotions doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Your relationship with others doesn't mean the same thing anymore. You have to redefine everything. It's a big chance. It's a big hope. And all the characters, they are, of course, traumatized. They are dead inside. But there are a lot of space to fill up. And so they are trying, they are copying, they are trying to build up something new. You see, they are finding their words, their dialogues. You know, usually when somebody asks a question, they counter with another question. They don't answer directly. It's like you are opening a new world. And this is something also I felt in Haiti. There was the first 10 days after the earthquake, there was this big, unifying, solidarity from all over the world, but also among Haitians, who thought, well, we can make a change, we can make a difference. We have a huge chance to start anew. And the film catches that very moment where everything can happen, and it's up to us what we do with it. And this quattro, that's exactly what they do, and they are like bowling balls. They are bumping into each other and creating new dimensions, new relation, and that you don't expect sometimes. And when you introduce that external body which is the young girl, mm-hmm. then the shocks are bigger.
Do you think that the fact that the main characters in your film are formerly rich people, that mm-hmm. they lost everything like everybody, but they mentally they are still feeling privileged, or that they deserve to be privileged. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this fact is, I mean, you think could have been different if those main characters were like poor people like Jennifer?
Well, that's the thing, you know, to tell a story through a higher middle class family is important, because that's they define society most of the time. They are the one in power. They are in the majority. And some not the majority in terms of number, but no, in terms of power.
Power, yeah.
And it was exactly where you have to deal with those issues, because they have the cards in their hands. There is something I wanted to say about that. Forgot. Well, while you were asking me the question, I had already the answer. There is a huge difference. I didn't want to use the usual bourgeoisie image of people who have education, who knows life, but somehow are really right people, conservative. Mm-hmm. Those are people who were engaged, who were leftists. Those are not your usual bourgeois.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The man and the woman, they were engaged when they were younger. They met in Europe. They know life. They know the world. They are not an exotic couple. That's why you can, in fact, identify with them. They have a way of life that is totally European, you know. And this is what we are confronting today. We are, in fact, it's we, us, who have been engaged when we were younger. And we are the one doing the same thing now, mm-hmm. now that we are in power. And that aspect was very important to me.
Yeah, because it's not just an Asian's issue. It's a
absolutely not. I told to the
issue.
Audience yesterday, it's for me, it's this feeling, it's something I have in France sometime or in the U.S. when I see how we got accustomed to homeless people, by example. When you hear about stories of people in some province in the U.S. who are struggling to eat in the richest country in the world, mm-hmm. And we just avoid today to deal with those social issues because there are institutions who does that for us.
Yeah, yeah, it's like giving away the responsibility.
Exactly. So for me, it's like society accepted that there is a quarter of the world that can just die. We don't care, and we can just continue to step on bodies and cadaver, you know.
Because this is the way it has to be.
Yes, and you see that even, you know, look at the difference in China. Even a country like China, which is supposed to be communist, you know, where you have I don't know how many billionaires now, and you know how life is in certain provinces,
like
where people
they don't die
anymore of hunger, but. They are living under very, very hard conditions. And I see the same thing, you know. You remember probably the images of Katrina when it happened. You know, it could have been in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what I am seeing around the world. So the film is much more... It could have happened in different countries. It's for me, it's this emotion that I feel, this sort of radicality of bourgeoisie, which is who is fragile, like the girl says, and is scared to lose everything.
Scared, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we have today. We have people, even those who are engaged, they are scared because it's fragile today. The economical situation of everybody is in question.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some others want to accumulate millions. You know, it's like crazy, and you are nobody if you can't accumulate millions. If you can't have a car, if you can't have five iPhones, etc.
Yeah, it's like the exasperation of a social status that has become like over the top.
So you will go over dead body to be safe.
I want to ask one thing about the ONGs. One of the characters in the movie, he works for ONGs, and the perception that the people have of their work is really vague, because they say, what do you do? I help. They help. But they don't know exactly what they do. And I perceived a kind of a sense of not maybe a slight criticism on your part on the works of ONGs. There was this scene where the lead character, the woman, finds those guys and girls,
those trophy photos,
trying to wipe to clean the streets, they're not cleaning, they're just there pretending to work, you know. And when they're asked, one says, "Oh well, we clean, they pay us, that's it,
that's the deal
but this was not basically what an ONG should do. Should do much more, should be more, you know, penetrating the issue. So what is your thoughts about it?
Well, I wish this image was even like an image of an artistic image, but I've seen it again and again in Haiti during after the earthquake, you know, because some NGOs had to spend money and they didn't care how they spent it. It was, the order was, spend money. The money has to circulate. Of course, they could have found a better, more productive way to do it. And by the way, the Haitians, they were totally conscious of what was going on. They took the money because they needed it. You know, nobody is stupid enough to see that, you know, that doesn't make sense. You know, by the way, a group of 100 people would clean a street and then another 100 would come the same street again the same day. So you would have all sort of... But, of course, I don't want to say that all NGOs did bad work, but most NGOs did very bad work. Even NGOs who were very good during the tsunamis, they came to Haiti, they just lost their governance, they lost their way of doing things. And that's why I recommend, because that's part, the other part of the film for me is my... the documentary Fatal Assistance, because that's where you understand how the machine is not working.
It's not working.
And it's have been like this for the last 40 years.
It's like a surface work, but not like a very deep work. So once the NGO goes away, things are better or they are...
They are worse for a lot of people. Because another aspect that happened about after the earthquake, people forget that before anybody came, it was the Haitians themselves who organized. They saved more than 80% of the people under the rubbles. They closed down the streets. They set up camps. They organized to get water, medicine. Everybody in their neighborhood did something. Doctors who were living in their neighborhood, because they could not circulate either. Mm-hmm. So they stay and they worked, you know, day and night. I have a lot of friends who were, you never went home for days. You know, and everybody was in the streets because you couldn't trust your house, and there were still aftershocks. So, and all this solidarity that existed among Haitians was broken as soon as the big armada of humanitarian aid started entering, because they came with a lot of provision. They brought even water.
Yeah.
Instead of buying the water in Haiti, which would have, take a little bit more organization, maybe lose one or two days, but it would have been more better, and money would have circulated better instead of this cash for work programs. And they know in there that's how you do it. All the NGOs agree to that do no harm policy. But because it's so-called urgency, they prefer to let everything aside. So, and of course, all the young people who had organized themselves, they felt totally disowned. And they lost, you know, they stay home, or they wanted to help, but there was no way to help because they were not needed. I myself felt that. I was not needed because, first of all, I would question some of the decisions they are taking, and they didn't don't have time for that. You know, they have an order, they have to execute the order, that's all they know. They have to spend money, they have to bring stuff, they have to give results so that when the journalists come, they can see that we have done something. It's about public opinion at home.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with us Haitians.
Very clear. But your film, besides these social issues, is a real drama happening. So there is a dramatic plot. The relationship between these four characters, they get crazy up to an end where there is a murder. where the title of the movie. Maybe it's a silly question, but why did you choose among the four characters?
Don't say who
that. No, of course not. Why did you choose to end it with in that way, and not then which was was selected to be the victim?
You know, that's where the connection with Pasolini's famous film Teorema comes. Mm-hmm. You remember, yeah. It's this Christic young man, beautiful young man, who comes into this bourgeois family and seduces the mother, seduces the daughter, seduces the young boy, seduces the father. And then at the end of the film, the family cell explodes and each one go crazy, and only the servant, who was also seduced, became a sort of saint and can do miracles, and it's like the hope at the end of the film. But in our case, there was no hope. The outcome could not be have any redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because that's how I feel the situation is. So the very strange thing that happened is that you thought that the characters were opposite, and you find out that, in fact, there is a sort of class solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
When have to preserve their interests.
Which is like, the last shot of the film is that one.
That's what you get hit in the last shot, because somehow you get close to each one of the characters. You could say, well, maybe he would not be my friend, but I understand his behavior. I understand some of his reactions.
There is some justification you can give,
There is some empathy at some point. And then you are taking you're taken off guard at the end, because you say, "Wow, where was I in that thing, in that quattro? You know, where do I fit? In fact, I am among the ones who killed as well."
You know? The last shot, or when they're watching the house to be finally torn down, is really amazing, because you have never. I mean, I have never ever thought of them to change that much.
Yeah, well.
With one single look, and also, I mean, the body attitude, the body language is different.
Oh, yeah. That's where you see it was a Kammerspiel. It was a what's the word again?
Chamber. Chamber piece.
You know, it's like, so it was a chamber piece, and everybody was playing. It was not reality. And when reality comes back, it hurts you very harsh.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is out there. You know, the Kammerspiel in this villa with its closed walls, you know, that's not reality.
The world we still entertain is
not reality. And reality is much more violent. And we choose not to see
not
it.
Not to see, of course.
You know, and that's why I say those people, they walk on cadaver. They walk on dead bodies.
Well, Mr. Peck, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for being with us. It was Angelo Cervi for Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale 2015.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.